Hey church, so good to see you today, and I hope that you enjoy gathering wherever you are and whoever you are with. We find ourselves in week 4 of the See, I Am Doing a New Thing series. So far we've explored a new love for Jesus, we've looked at a new commitment to discipleship, and a new connection to my neighbour last week. And today we'll be looking at a new priority for community. We'll be looking at a passage in John 17. Jesus has been teaching his disciples. He's predicted his death and warned them of what is to come. And in chapter 17, he then prays. He prays for himself to be glorified. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. So today we'll explore what Jesus prayed for when he prayed for all believers. And this prayer has one eye on the fulfillment of the kingdom of God, one eye to eternity, but also an eye for what that looks like today in our world. God's eternal plan actually impacting, shaping us today. But before we get into that, why don't we just pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us in being able to gather today. Wherever that is and whatever it looks like, we just want to thank you. Help us now, though, to focus in on you, to hear what you actually have to teach us. Lord, put on our hearts the people and the things which are from you. Help us to settle our minds, to just refocus and refresh, and to actually learn to love you more and the people around you more. Amen. I was in England last year visiting friends, and I was staying with my mate James. He had to work during the day, so while he was working, I took myself off into town. I'd visit nice cafes and parks, and I'd just sit and read. It doesn't sound exciting, but I love it. One day, I was in the centre of London. Now, it is busy. Everyone is bustling, and in London, people just seem to walk quicker. There's always somewhere to be. There's always something happening. I went to a cafe for lunch and I sat down at a window bench seat, actually looking out at the people rushing past, at the busyness around me. I was looking over the street and I actually realized that I was surrounded by people. People were everywhere. Busy, productive people. People just everywhere, yet I knew no one. And no one knew me. I was alone, yet surrounded. I was with people, yet I was with no one. And it's so easy to be with people, to be at events or groups or programs and services, to be with people, yet actually know no one, and not to be known yourself. It's so easy to know everyone's name, to be friends with them on Facebook, but not actually know anything about them, their story, their family, their hobbies, what actually gets them excited in life. And we can often miss the meaning of community. We believe it's about being with those lots of people, being known by lots of people, and being included in everything, just being part of the action. But when I was sitting in that cafe, actually watching the world go by in front of me, I didn't think, wow, I want everyone to know me. I want everyone to notice me. I want everyone to come and say hi, or everyone to come and sit and have a coffee with me. I didn't want everyone to know me at all. What I did want, however, was just one person to sit next to me, to strike up conversation. I knew that it would only take one person to notice me, for me to actually feel known and to actually be included in what was going on around me. And in community, we can often have this inclination towards big groups where there's actually lots happening. We get caught up in the buzz and the vibe of the event. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yet I think what matters most, more so than being included in everything or being in a room with lots of people, is actually to be known by one other person, to share your life with them, to know them deeply and intimately. We actually deep down have this longing to be with people and to be known by people. And Jesus actually wants our relationships with one another to be deeply rooted. Jesus wants our relationships with one another to be quality over quantity. And we see it in this passage as actually Jesus calls us to be one. In the passage we read, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you. It goes on, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And then it says, may they be brought to complete unity. Jesus prays for us. Yes, he prayed and prays for you and me. He prays that as followers of him, we might actually have this oneness, a complete unity. Not uniformity, not all the same, but this spiritual oneness. What is this oneness or unity which Jesus is praying for? Well, what it's not is people being identical. Jesus doesn't pray for us to all think the same thoughts, look the same, and live lives identical to one another. Jesus prays that this oneness may be like how the Father and Son are one. Jesus and God are one, but they are also not identical. As much as Jesus is God, they have differences. Jesus is fully human and God is God. Our oneness is to model the oneness of Jesus and God, his Father. God is in Jesus and Jesus in God, and we therefore are to dwell in Jesus, but also be one with one another. To be intimately connected, to actually do life together, to eat together, encourage one another. We should be so connected socially, personally, emotionally, and spiritually. And following Jesus will actually pull us closer to people, and we will be more and more connected in every aspect of our life. Connected to Jesus through his Spirit, and connected to one another in community. And oneness isn't a program we run at church. It's not something that you can attend and buy a ticket to. Oneness isn't in anyone's role description. I'm not the youth oneness pastor. Oneness isn't the role of the pastoral team. Oneness is actually something which is everyone's role. Oneness is all of our responsibility. Oneness is something we should all be striving for. And I think that everyone has had an experience of a good community in their life, one where you actually leave uplifted, you feel supported, known, and loved. And we've all experienced community that can just be so draining and tiring and unfulfilling, or just not being in community at all, that feeling of isolation. We all know and have experienced a community which isn't easy. Community can at times be hard. It can be draining, and it's easy just to avoid and just try to do your own thing. Doing life with people will be messy. It will be annoying, and at times it will just be too much. And I think recently we've experienced elements of both of these extremes. At the beginning of lockdown, for a lot of people, we were intentionally actually just messaging people, calling people, reaching out. We were going on bushwalks and grabbing takeaway coffees. There were people actually writing letters to one another, picking up shopping for others, and spending hours, literally hours, on the phone chatting to people, checking in, seeing if we're all going okay. So many people just actually caring for one another and giving up time and energy for those in our church community. And the thing was that there was this real intentionality behind it. We knew we needed community, and we knew we needed to do something about it ourselves. I had to be the one to reach out. And we knew our role was to reach out to others, to love and serve those around us. But now COVID's dragged on. It's been longer than a lot of us thought, and looks like it will go on longer than many of us think. And with that comes a bit of fatigue and sadness and overall disappointment at actually not being able to gather all together up at church. I'm so sick of Zoom. I spent on Monday 9 to 5 on Zoom. It's not fun. I'm not sure actually if anyone enjoys it, but it's what we have to do at the moment. It's how we need to meet. And so we have to tap in and say yes to being there. Our small groups look different. We can't hug or sit near one another. We can't shake hands when we walk into the room. It's draining just keeping up with what we can and can't do. And there's this massive temptation to actually disengage, to pull back, to just go it alone. There's a huge temptation to actually watch church by yourself, or watch it whenever you feel like it or when you can. There's a temptation to actually skip life group, to actually just listen to another podcast during the week, or to pray by yourself. we can so easily decide to actually just wait this out and return to our church community in 6 months or whenever we can actually meet up again. Yet if we do that, we're actually missing out on this incredible opportunity that Jesus is currently calling us into. Because Jesus wants us to have deep, quality community rather than a large quantity community. Right now, we are being called deeper into this quality community. We aren't mingling with as many people during our Sunday services. We aren't incidentally catching up with people as large groups gather. The size of our gatherings have shrunk massively, but this doesn't have to be a bad thing because Jesus is calling us to a higher quality of community. And this will actually be our secret to mission. Our community, our quality community, will actually be what pulls people to Christ. In fact, right now, God is calling us, he's calling you to go deeper with a few. We're being called to be more intentional with a couple of people. We're being called to be the ones who actually pick up our phone, who reach out to others. We're being called to actually organize catch-ups. We're being given the responsibility to actually ask people the question, how are you going? We are being called to be honest and vulnerable in sharing how we are going and our life with other people. We are being called to actually walk with a few people closely, intimately, actually supporting, encouraging, and challenging them as we follow Jesus together. We are being called to rock up, to lean in, not to tap out, not to come up with excuses, but to be there. To be in life groups, to go to church with people on a Sunday, even invite people around to watch church together or sign into Zoom to watch together. We are being called to rock up. We are being called to be a people who reach out and don't wait to be reached. In a time where it's so easy to disconnect, we actually need to continue in Jesus' prayer for us to become one and to work toward unity. Reach out, call, message, write a letter. Don't wait for someone to reach out to you. We are to be proactive and take initiative ourselves. And if everyone actually does this, if everyone this week actually calls or messages three people, our community will just be far better off for it. Every person should be reached. Every person should be encouraged. Every person should be supported. And every person should actually feel loved and known. If we all pick up what needs to be done, if we all take on that responsibility by just actually picking three people to intentionally love and serve, who are your three people? Who are you actually going to reach out to this week? Just three people. That is the role of everyone. And Jesus then reminds us in this passage the purpose of community. Community is the outcome of people loving Jesus. People who love Jesus have a byproduct of community. In the passage, we read, just as you are in me and I in you. And then he says, they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. And later it goes, I have made known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. When I play football, my aim isn't to score a goal. I mean, I love to score goals. Who doesn't? And it's the whole point of the game, ultimately. But my goal is to play well with my team, to actually pass well, to run well, to actually work as a team together. The byproduct of a team which passes and runs and works well together is that they'll score lots of goals. And maybe I might score one too. Point being that the purpose matters and how we actually function as a team matters. And sometimes it's easy to forget what community actually is. It seems sometimes our goal is community. That is what we're striving for. That's what we're trying to do. And the way we speak about community suggests that that's why we exist. We exist to be a community. We exist to provide community to people. And all of that has elements of truth in it. But it's not our main goal. It's not our main purpose. And we'll get to the purpose of community being mission soon. But first, we need to remind ourselves what community is. Because community isn't our goal. It's not mainly what we are on about. Community is a byproduct of loving Jesus. Brian McLaren, in his book Authentic Community, says Jesus never wrote a book or established a school. Rather, his legacy was a community. The greatest hermeneutic or interpretation of the gospel is a community that seeks to live by it. We should not seek community, but pursue love, a practice which yields community as a byproduct. Community is actually a God-given gift, which is a byproduct of people loving Him. Community is a gift given to us by God. Community is a gift. And what's this mean? Well, it means that our first goal should be to love God more. Jesus asks in his prayer that he may be in us, that the love which God has for his Son might actually be in all humanity, a love which is sacrificial, unrelenting, and all-powerful. That is the love of God which Jesus actually prays for us, that we might be in him. In verse 24, Jesus prays that those who God has given him might be with him where he is, to see Jesus' glory, a glory which was given to him from before the creation of the world. As Jesus prays, he wants us, he's willing us to be with him where he is, to actually know and experience his glory. And this means we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to actually be reading our Bibles, spend time in prayer and petition and worship and journaling and silence and solitude, whatever your spiritual disciplines are. We need to spend time with Jesus to see his glory, a glory which has been his from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation. Jesus is the basis of community. And Carol so clearly demonstrated this for us in the kids' talk. Loving Jesus is our goal. Jesus is the center. Community is just a God-given byproduct. This also means for community that we are just to love people, loving other people who are also loving Jesus. So we are trying to push one another to become the people God made us to be, who are encouraging, pulling, challenging people actually into their God-given identity. Will this be messy? Yes. Will this at times be tiring? Yes. Can this be super frustrating and draining? Yes. But loving people is actually about seeing them the way that God sees them, as sons and daughters of the Creator, infinitely known and eternally loved. And this is where the beauty of community actually comes in, because we should see people as who they are becoming, not as what they've done. We aren't to define people or box people in due to their mistakes or the frustrations we have with them. We are to see the beauty, the wonder, the creativity, and the joy in people, just the way that God actually sees our potential and who we can become and who we were actually really made to be. Community isn't an ideal. It's just people. And we are called to love people just the way they are, with their wounds and their gifts, as who they are, not as who we wish they were or who we want them to be. And we actually need one another to speak truth into our lives, to remind each other of our God-given identity. We need one another to actually remind each other of the salvation which we have in Christ. We need others to keep us on the right track. We need one another. You need people, and other people actually need you. But the goal is Jesus. Loving Jesus must be at the very center of our community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a great line in his book Life Together. He says, "He who loves his dream of community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, of the Christian community. Even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial, God hates visionary dreaming. It makes the dreamer proud and pretentious." When community is our goal and our dream, Bonhoeffer reckons we destroy the very thing that we want, the very thing that we dream of. Our goal isn't community. Jesus doesn't pray for us to be the best community. He prays for us to know his glory and love and to be united in that love. Community is also not what people do to you and for you. Even though, yes, you will experience the gift of blessings of people in community, community is actually about how you pour yourself out for others, how you serve and love those around you. Community isn't about judging others on how well they perform in meeting your needs. It's about being willing to love people even when it's hard, to serve people when it hurts, and actually to forgive when you don't want to forgive. Community is defined by how you treat people rather than how they treat you. So keeping those three people in your mind from before, how can this week you actually encourage them, but also point them to Jesus? In what way can you actually remind them of the love of Christ this week? Just three people, pointing them further, closer to Jesus. How can you continue to keep pointing people around you to Jesus, to become more like Jesus as we walk with people in our faith journey? And how well we do all of this will be reflected in how we do mission. Because the quality of mission we have in the church is the secret to mission in how we go out of the church. The quality of community is the secret to mission. In Jesus' prayer, what is the point of the oneness and unity which he prays for? Well, it's so the world may believe that you sent me, so the world may know the love of God, so the world may actually know Jesus. Through community, people encounter Jesus, the living God. Through God's people, people who don't yet know Jesus come to know the love which God has for all of creation. Through our community, people should come to encounter Jesus and actually give their lives to him. Jesus doesn't want oneness for the sake of it. God gives us the gift of community so that we might actually be a light to the world around us, so that we might be a community of people who love Jesus, so that when people actually encounter us, step into community ever so briefly or look from a distance, they will receive a taste and demonstration of the kingdom of God. They will actually encounter Jesus. The way we treat one another, love one another, serve one another, forgive one another, will have a direct impact how we as a community actually go out. Our inward community is so important, but equally and dependent on one another is how we as a community go out to our neighbours. If we think about community as this circle, we have Jesus in the middle, and Jesus is the light. And in John 1, it reminds us that God is light, and that we are to walk in the light. And the light, Jesus, is why we have community and actually how we have community. So Jesus is the center of the circle. Going out from the circle, we'll actually have a border, a ring. And the temptation is to actually have a firm border, a solid circle. However, if that is the case, we're a community which can't get out, which doesn't look out. We only look inward and we miss the missional aspect of community. Our border, our edge, should actually have holes. We should have this soft edge with gaps because people will come and go. People will come into community and they will go out of community. But as they come in, they will actually encounter Jesus and respond to his gospel. People will come into the circle and fade out, but the circle must have soft edges so that people can come in, be welcomed and encounter Jesus. And the edge must be soft so that the light in the center, Jesus, the light of the world, can actually go out into the community with us and before us. God's light will actually then be able to reach people in our community. Our mission statement at TCBC is transforming lives through Christ-centered community. This means that we have a community which is characterized by loving one another, loving God, actually serving and forgiving one another, And when people enter TCBC, when people enter this community, when they step into one of our programs or they encounter us in the shopping center or other community sporting groups that we're a part of, that they will actually encounter Jesus. And the more they step into community, the more they actually enter in, the more questions they have, the more they find out about us, the more they will just keep finding Jesus, the more they will discover about Jesus, because Jesus is the center of all that we do. We have community as a gift from God so that the broader community around us may actually see God's glory and encounter him. The question for us then is this. In 6 months' time, what will we as TCBC be known for? And the answer I pray for, is that we are a community of people who love Jesus. And when people encounter us, they encounter and are transformed, they're changed by the love of Christ. Transforming lives through Christ-centered community. That is what we are on about. In this series, See, I'm Doing a New Thing, we're coming back to the basics to see what Jesus has been teaching us and reflecting on lessons from this period of COVID. Today is about you making a commitment to a new priority for community, a new priority for people we do life with here in our church community. What does a new priority for community mean for you? Individually, we need others, and others need us. Let's commit to making our life group and church a priority, where we actually rock up wanting to learn and listen and grow together. Let's make it a priority to reach out to three people this week. Who are your three people? Who can you encourage, pray for, cook for, invite over, go for a walk with? Just three people. Let's make a commitment as we do that to actually talk to one another about Jesus and just how much he loves each one of us. Let's commit to just reminding and showering each other with this love all the time. Let's commit to one another, even though it's messy, even though it's hard. Let's commit to seeing one another become more like Christ. And finally, let's commit to being a Christ-centered community with soft edges so that when people encounter our community, they are just drawn into the way that we actually treat one another, talk to one another, encourage and serve and love and forgive one another. And that through the way we actually treat one another, the way we actually do community, people might encounter Jesus and actually be transformed by his love. And that we might actually see more people making more responses, giving their lives to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, what an absolute gift it is that you have given us community. Thank you for the joy it is to be able to do life and follow you with other people. Thank you for those people in our life who actually support us and encourage us, forgive us and challenge us. Thank you for those people in our life who teach us lessons, share their wisdom and stick by us even when we are down. Lord, give us patience in community. Grant us wisdom, compassion and empathy. Help us to be the types of people we want others to be to us. Lord, help us just to actually pour ourselves out for those around us. Lord, I pray that as TCBC, we might focus in on you, that we might actually focus on Jesus this week. May we actually just dwell in your love, your grace, your mercy and forgiveness. And may that be the cornerstone of our community. May you be at the very center of all we do. And Lord, I pray that we may see each other the way you see us, eternally known, infinitely loved. Lord, help us to have this soft edge to our community. I pray that people would be able to enter our community, encounter people from our community. I pray as they do this that your light would shine through us and be a light to the world around us. Lord, I pray that as we serve, treat and love one another, the way that we do that might actually be what brings people to you. Lord, give us confidence this week to reach out to people who we know. Give us boldness to speak your truth into their life. May we be a community which comes to complete unity in our love for you and our love for one another. Amen. Whew. It like took a photo halfway through. Doesn't it normally do that? It just.
How long is this sermon? Oh, I think you've gone over 29 minutes. That's what it is.
Oh, really?
So what that'll be is the thing going.
Yeah, right.
And so, was it in the middle of a word?
Oh, I don't remember. Oh well. That's quite long. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
4,000 words.
That's all